Thanks for the Health Administration section for bringing this talk into this session. Very happy to be here. My name is Albert Cerulli, and I am the Senior Director for Family and Community Health at ASTHO, as Mark mentioned, and that does include work in maternal and child health, primary care, health equity, chronic disease, injury prevention, and because of all the work that I do, of course, I have no time for anything else, so I have no relationships to disclose. So the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials, Mark says we have about 20 minutes, 25 minutes, so from here on out, we're going to call this ASTHO. It's helpful to use these acronyms in times like this. We talk about ASTHO, we're talking about supporting the state public health infrastructure. We talk about this, we're talking about the saying, when you see one state public health agency, you've seen one state public health agency. There's a great variety and diversity within state public health. 55% of our members are freestanding agencies that report directly to the governor. The other 45% are in an umbrella organization reporting to a secretary that reports to the governor. And then about 13 states, 28% total, and the District of Columbia offer direct services, local services, to their constituents. There is no local department or county health department in those states. When I talk about ASTHO and what ASTHO does, it's always helpful to throw a map up there to see what the breadth is, and that is, it really does go from the territories close to the Philippines up to Alaska and across the U.S. to the easternmost point of the United States, which is the Virgin Islands, St. Croix. If you get on there, they got a little pedestal set up. You can drive out to it and be the easternmost point. So, as we can see, we do have 59 state health officials who are our members. And we also give support to 120,000 public health workers within the agencies. The vision, of course, healthy people thriving, a nation free of preventable illness and disease, and the mission to transform public health within states and territories to help members dramatically improve health and wellness. So when we talk about our work in health equity, we have a number of projects. I think the one that I want to bring out to the surface is something happening this afternoon at 2:30. In Seasons Ballroom 1, Seasons Ballroom 1 at 2:30, there is going to be the APHA ASTHO Health Equity Forum with an opening talk by Howard Koh and moderated by Commissioner Auerbach from the state of Massachusetts with Adewale Troutman, Linda Ray Murray, the APHA president-elect, some really great presentations, and what we're hoping for is a great discussion and some next steps in terms of strategy harmonization. Another part of our work includes supporting the Office of Minority Health with their National Partnership for Action. Part of the implementation for the NPA will include the establishment of regional boards. Our official state health officers will be placed on these boards. We'll be giving support to our state health officials on the boards, and we'll be involved in the evaluation of the NPA in terms of how it's working and how to build on best practices. We talk about ASTHO's work in health equity. We also talk about a cross-cutting potential, a chance for areas, content areas to intersect. What does health equity mean in light of infectious disease, in light of environmental health, maternal and child health, access to care, a chance to bring health equity into all parts of our work in terms of our grant writing, making sure that it touches on every part of public health possible. The next, we're doing a pretty systematic and detailed scan of health equity efforts within the states. The first was a survey in 2007. We have a follow-up survey coming up in 2 weeks to see what the trajectory or lack thereof is of health equity within the states. And along with this quantitative instrument, we're also doing some qualitative case studies, trying to delve into best practices at the in the state level so that other states can learn about these and integrate them into their own efforts. And of course, I would be remiss if I didn't jump right into the talk of the day, our work in the Health Equity Strategic Map. ASTHO's done some good, solid work the last few years in strategic and health equity. It's a chance for us to take our work to the next step and to get a systematic plan to bring it forward for the next 3 to 5 years. ASTHO is funded in its work in health equity by the Office of Minority Health. And again, part of this portfolio is the strategic mapping session. The meeting was a meeting of 30 different participants, which had a breadth of agencies represented, as well as a certain geographical representation. We're looking at persons from the Southeast, South, Dr. Leonard Jack from Xavier University in New Orleans, Adewale Troutman, who at that time was in the Louisville County Department of Health. He has since moved on to the University of South Florida. I hope I'm not surprising you with that. He did say at the Health Reform Summit, so I'm not surprising anyone with that, right? Anyway, geographic representation with the charge to develop a strategy to address health equity. And address the current situation of health equity efforts at ASTHO, and talked about how to bring where we are currently to where we'd like to be future. And the outcome, of course, was the development of a strategic map. The first date for the strategic mapping session was February 8th through the 10th. We can see here what happened. I'm very sorry. Let me add some detail to this picture. There. So DC was hit with 48 inches of snow. Originally from Louisiana, I was not told that it was snow at all, much less for 48 inches. So I am not in this picture. I was in this picture, and I call this picture Meeting Destroyed. So of course, even located in Crystal City, there was only so much capacity ASTHO had for getting people from the airport to our offices. We canceled the meeting. On to May 26th to the 27th. Before we get into the meeting and the date, the schedule, and some of the specific steps, I would like to talk a little bit about what a strategic map is. We look at these things. We can go to a definitive text by Robert Kaplan and David P. Norton from Harvard Business Review, published in 2004, called Strategic Maps: Converting Intangible Assets into Tangible Outcomes. It's a dynamic visual tool, the strategic map, to describe and communicate your strategy, linking objectives to cause and effect relationships. And of course, they're building on their work here in the strategic focused organization, especially in the balanced scorecard. Now, usually in business models these days, when you see a strategic map, you have the strategic map set up first, and then a balanced scorecard, a way to measure what's happening, set up second. Where in the inception of the strategic map, historically, the balanced scorecard was established first. And then Kaplan and Norton saw fit to say, we have to describe this strategy, translate strategy to operational terms, aligns the organization to the strategy, and makes strategy everyone's everyday job. Their book on the strategic map posited this creation, this equation that says you can't measure, you can't manage, and that's the third component, what you can't measure. The second component, and you can't measure what you can't describe. Now, I throw the bibliography up here just so you see the history of the work that went into this concept of the strategic map going back to 1992, and I could never pass up an opportunity to aggravate some academics that think about bibliography needs to go toward the end. I'll be happy to follow up and send this out to people who need it in terms of reading material. If you do a search on Kaplan and Norton, you'll see a pretty exhaustive listing of texts and resources. And it really is a kind of a business model, and we're using it within health equity, which is interesting, and I'll get to that. This is what a strategic map looks like. We see at the top the central challenge. In the blue boxes, there are the strategic priorities, and then the white boxes are the objectives to reach those priorities. The gold bars at the bottom are the cross-cutting priorities. That is, the efforts that have to be integrated and all of the objectives, regardless of what priority area they underlie. Now, in terms of the strategic, the central challenge is the focal point for the strategy, focuses the organizational needs to do in the next 3 years to support the mission and work toward its vision. And there are two tests of the blue priority areas. Is each priority necessary to meet the central challenge? And taken together, are they sufficient to meet the central challenge? And then we have the objectives beneath each priority. This strategic map was developed by ASTHO at its strategic planning mapping session in August of 2009 to guide its efforts over the three-year strategic planning period. And right now we're in the process of working a balanced scorecard into this strategic map. So, the strategic mapping in support of health equity. The goal was to develop a national approach to health equity, a need to define ASTHO's role and to align federal, state, and local and public health goals to create a national system and to support a true impact on public health. And to move forward, there was a need to identify actionable steps, consider new approaches, and of course, to improve data. The mapping timeline, in terms of the actual event, it was a day and a half meeting. The first day was a real rich and robust discussion, ending with the initial steps of the strategic mapping, the setting of the central challenge and the priorities. The filling out of the map took place on Thursday morning, and then there was an implementation period at the end of that meeting before a very tired and exhausted group finally checked out and went home. Very grateful for their efforts. In this presentation, we'll talk about the three steps in strategic mapping, an assessment of the current situation, setting the future direction for ASTHO and state health agencies to achieve equity, and then the creation of the strategic map, depicting how to move from current to future. Now, as we capture the interaction between the participants, be mindful, there was a lot of interaction. And you're gonna see in a couple of seconds a lot of words thrown up there. My attempt to try to summarize what happened in some short and some bulleted points, but we're gonna fly through quick because it was so rich. But it's not to say that it was angry, it was passionate. At some point, the facilitators put out this fantastic concept for a meeting like this, and that was at some point, we have to agree what is good enough. And there were some points where there had to be an agreement to disagree, and we'll get into those later on. And that good enough concept helped us to move forward. Again, the passion in the room was amazing. People really sincerely cared about this. We did bring in some people who had worked in health equity for years, including Richard Hofrichter from NACHO, including Bob Prentice from California, including John Auerbach, Mirtha Beadle, some really passionate people who spoke well to what has to happen, to what had happened in the past, and how to build on these efforts. Maxine Hayes from the state of Washington, what a super lady. All right, so assessing the current situation. This involved an assessment of the strengths, weaknesses, and some critical issues at ASTHO. An example of, it met in small groups, broke out into six different small groups to assess the current situation, and going through the strengths, defined position around health equity for ASTHO as a social justice issue. And what ASTHO does, policy, covering things at broad strokes, also a chance to elevate best practices, an awareness of policy development across states, being able to identify some things that are happening in one state or one region and bringing them into some other states, alignment of messages, convening some real non-traditional partners, and a capacity for standardization around measurements and outcomes that could help move this work forward. No small task, and something that ASTHO could have a niche in. Weaknesses, a presence in every state with limited staff and resources was a big part of the conversation. I think we're all aware of the budget problems that states are going through right now. Some of us are working for states. We've seen a reduction in employment, which is just simply amazing, and it's not looking any better for the next 4 years. A substantial weakness, vulnerability in light of health equity, framing things by health equity entails a certain risk. How you do it, you're certainly making some people angry within state public health, and it has to be done carefully. A lack of diversity for funding streams, restrictions by statutes and legislation in states on what money can be received and how to spend it, and the great state variability in structure and in demographics, a weakness, and also, in my eyes, a certain strength. Critical issues. I'm sorry the fonts are getting smaller, but you see the amount of material that I'm having to sift through here, a lot of rich interaction, and again, I'll try to move through this as quickly as possible. State public health workforce must be adequate and competent to support health equity, assuring ASTHO and the states can leverage the opportunities that are at hand, especially in light of health reform, a real focus on policy around health reform, the changing demographics within the state, the majority becoming the minority in some states, the political will, public health integration, operationalizing the social determinants of health, honing in on what Adewale Troutman calls health as a human right, and how to make that a central focus for health equity efforts. A discussion around this assessment, the strengths, weaknesses, and critical issues, got into several points. Reinforce a fundamental principle that health equity is not just about health or health care. It is a social justice issue. It is a human right. It crosses multiple sectors. Health equity disparities start early. The enormity of the issue transcends public health most certainly and its authority, but it's also public health work. Participants have varying perspectives regarding to the issues and how best to address it, but they are united in their passion for solutions, and this was certainly brought to bear in this meeting. ASTHO and state health agencies must think carefully about how health equity is integrated in its brand, investments and resource allocation, daily work and policies, staffing and benefits, what's critical to determine, and how to make health equity the job of everyone in a public health organization. Health equity and the root causes of inequities must be communicated, making the case for health equity in communities, in businesses, community-led grassroots mobilization, fundamental, taking up those best practices, the histories of the work that's happened in health equity. Some of the group expressed the point of view that it's not necessary to lead with social justice when addressing the health equity issue. The umbrella notion is building healthy communities. Thinking carefully about the language imposing issues strategically will be important to bring people, everyone, to the table, departments of transportation, departments of education, insurance, across all the parts of state government that can actually affect this issue. Okay. And some expressed some frustration with the continued need to be concerned with how to frame the issue. And we'll get to some of these things later. How to name it as health equity? Should it be named health disparities? What does an office of minority health mean? And we had about at least 5 pages of notes on the discussion out of this. And this was definitively one issue where we had to get an agreement of good enough. It's very sensitive, though, and it was something that was really captured well. And we can have some things, some discussion about that a little bit later on. The second step was to set the future direction for ASTHO and state health agencies to achieve equity in health. In discussing ASTHO's mission, vision, and strategic map, the following points were made. Health equity must be for everyone in the nation. It is not an issue only for them. It's for here now, for us. ASTHO's vision statement is inclusive, requires health equity. The role identifying what American people need, identifying the role of state health agencies in meeting this need, and determining how ASTHO supports states in this role. And ASTHO has a particularly distinctive competence in policy and that cross-sectoral leadership. Participants were then asked in the second part, in a word or phrase, to name the central challenge facing ASTHO. And we'll see how some of the content here gets to what was actually folded into the central challenge in our health equity strategic map. Workforce competence, skills, how we spend our money, making the case to gain leadership and sustained political will, identifying non-traditional approaches, but that courage and the political will was something that really came up to the surface in this interaction. Moving on to the third part, creating the strategic map that depicts how to move from current to future. And here's the first version, or the first version of what this meeting produced. We'll see not just the central challenge here, mobilize leadership to achieve public health, but every priority, which together should be sufficient to meet that challenge. What I'm going to do is go through these quickly, and we're going to go from left to right, A, B, C, D, E. E is going to be the one that's kind of down there like Ringo Starr from the Beatles, kind of off to the side there. And we're going to talk about not just in this discussion what objectives may go under these priorities, but whether or not all these priorities must be necessary to meet that central challenge. So we'll move through this. Okay. A, foster societal understanding. There was a great discussion around what society means and how to build this will to demand and build health equity. Develop and promote a common understanding of determinants, promote the value of health, develop messages. There was a real sensitivity to the language around demanding, and so you'll see that changes a little bit, without leaving behind the creation of a societal sense of urgency. For B, to strategically integrate health equity through the public and private sectors. Again, we're going to see some language around strategically. A lot of participants thought that strategy was implied with the map. So how could language be changed to still capture that systematic, that planned approach, advocate for health equity in all policies, the leadership of ASTHO and what this means, multi-directional, multi-level, hiring, framing, identify liaisons to represent each sector, and adding measurement as a cross-cutting priority. Increase and direct funding to foster health equity. there's really nothing wrong with that. So you'll find the language for here didn't really change. But there was a real conversation, a rich conversation around what this means, getting some non-traditional funding, making the case for health equity, the business case for health equity. It makes sense to work toward this, toward health as a human right for everyone involved, because you're going to raise the ability for people to participate in your organization, to be healthy, to live well, to influence others, to really build a healthy society, increasing capacity for public health to engage the private sector effectively. For D, strengthen organizational effectiveness and support of health equity. This was another vibrant area, ensuring strategic leadership placement and the empowerment of office, minority health, and health equity. A real conversation around how not to leave behind the work that's happened, how to bring it forward, to bring strategy into these efforts, to make sure that the strategies that are there, there's a real harmonization happening and a chance to bring people together, to work together. Ensure the integration and expectation to achieve health equity across all programs, technical assistance, tools, and engage and leverage the expertise of ASLO senior deputies, our affiliates, dental directors, chronic disease directors, maternal and child health directors, affinity groups, primary care office directors, everyone that we give support to. And so we get to the last priority, our Ringo Starr, and there was a real question of whether or not this priority actually was needed after going through the rich discussions of the previous four priorities. And in the end, it was left out because it was decided that that technical assistance could be folded into some of the other priority areas and that those priority areas would be sufficient to meet the presidential challenge. The central challenge. So the central challenge here is mobilizing leadership to achieve health equity. This is the top of our strategic health equity map. You see the priorities, and we'll see in the priorities, you'll note that the language changed in the first one away from demand, foster societal understanding and will to achieve health equity, which for the participants lent itself more to foster, to coalition building, consensus building without that demand language, but still got to the sense of urgency there. For leverage and engage broad, you'll notice that we did change from strategically integrate. People thought that within a strategic map it was a little bit redundant, but it really got to the different nuances that happened within planning and systems around leveraging and engaging broad public-private support. And you see the next two didn't really change too much. And then our cross-cutting priorities were really resonant through the discussion. Build knowledge of and action to address the root causes of health inequities. Getting in, diving into the histories and the decisions that have gotten us to where we are today, and understanding those helps us to move forward. Develop and implement systematic measurement and evaluation. We know what the gap is between one population and another. Now the challenge is to capture how to attack that gap. And so here's the health equity map as a whole. You'll see the central challenge at the top, and you'll see the priority areas in blue, and then the objectives placed below it in white. Some are shaded, and that shading gets toward the implementation. There was a process of discussion, a deliberation to decide what ASTHO needed to do next. And you'll see in the first 12 months, in terms of the 3 to 5 year period, that this strategic map will be operational. And without a doubt, the focus was on the right in those blue squares. Ensure health equity is a priority for all state health officials. Ensure health equity, Office of Minority Health Leadership is empowered and resourced in state health agencies. And we're just going to go right through that. I'll be happy to send a copy of the strategic map for anybody that wants to take a look at it and see what's involved here. We do have to move on through here. There was a real voting by the different quadrants, and we'll see the quadrants were numbered D1, D3. If we go back, you can see that you go to the right. D1 was, of course, the first one, and there was a real conversation about what needed to stand up first. And it got really into making that commitment from leadership. Identify health equity as a priority, give it that high level of visibility, and dedicate resources. And one of the steps asked those taken in light of this, one of the first things was for our president, John Auerbach, the commissioner of Massachusetts, to name health equity as his presidential challenge. You want to see more of that at this forum at 2:30, but it's a real way. The presidential challenge is something where it makes it a priority for the entire organization to lift health equity up, to make sure it's a part of all organizational efforts. And it really not only gives me more work, but it also does allow for health equity to get that prominence within the organization that's needed. So again, the implementation covers 3 years, 1 year implementation plan focus, increasing advocacy and policy, improving societal understanding, and a measurement on progress. And we see that the strategic map is that it's not necessarily a static document or a tool. There's a certain dynamic quality to it. Review, adapt, adjust, mapping, and its creation is subject to feedback, conversations, dialogue, planning, developments, how it'll work with other strategies. Some questions that came up at the mapping session, is it a logic model? And that was a good question. You turn it on the side, could it be a logic model? Not really, because there's a real limited time frame here. 3 to 5 years, logic models get into certainly short-term outcomes without a time frame, but also medium and long-term outcomes. Health equity, health disparities, minority health, a great rich conversation around what captures this the most. Of course, health as a human right really stands up there, and we thought it was one of these issues where getting into good enough was going to help us move forward, stay with health equity. But we cannot forget the history around minority health and naming it that, and offices of minority health, and we can't get away from health disparities, really capturing that data that says that one population is in a different place from another population. And last, working with other strategies, including the National Partnership for Action, but also some work that's happened along with the National Association of City and County Health Officials and other rich organizations that have taken big steps in this area. Thanks to Paul Jarris, our CEO, who really worked as a co-facilitator, Martha Beadle, the Office of Minority Health, and then our state health officials who were there, and then TSI consultants, a big part of our pulling this meeting together and making it work, and then Meenu Mishra, who is our staff person around health equity at ASTHO. And please do not forget, one more plug, 2:30 to 4. It says Corbo Ballroom, but the little program said all season. So yeah, just make sure 2:30 to 4 is in your program. Thank you very much and for your attention. Do questions now? Okay, go ahead. Any questions? Wonderful. Very comprehensive. Go ahead, Mark.
Bringing all of these people together, the geography did you find that there was a lot of difference of opinion around how to define
by geographic location? Not necessarily. By populations within states, yes. Our member in Montana, Anna Whiting Sorrell, is the only Native American. I'm sorry, sure. He was asking if he thought that the geographic representation really informed the discussion from participants by those regions. And my answer to that would be that not really the place, but as much as the actual demographic makeup by place. So for example, in Montana, our member, the only Native American state health official, Anna Whiting Sorrell, was able to bring in some language that got to the Native American issues around health equity. Bob Prentice from California brought in a real rich discussion around Asian Americans in that part of the country, as well as Latinos, and what health equity means for them and some of the dynamics, and the real importance of cultural competency along with a consideration of looking at social determinants. Yes?
Can you tell me more about the case that you referred to look at health equity, how you plan on?
Well, we've done it. If you go to the ASTHO website, you'll look, there's 10 case studies. And what happened with our health equity or minority health survey from 2007, we noticed some real potential nuggets within the survey, the data that we got. And so we called the Office of Minority Health Director there. We made sure to arrange an interview. Bi-listed questions to get an accurate portrayal of what's happening and to lift those best practices up. An example of that would be Arizona and California had some great things that were happening, Massachusetts and Illinois. And so they're listed on our website in a PDF format. You're certainly welcome to go there. And if you need a more specific address, I'll be happy to give that to you. Yes, in the back here?
Looking back through one of your slides, I saw that there were two points, one on making the case and the second one on political will. Did you think at all, or did the process come up with any ideas about how you connect those two? It seems traditionally public health is good at making the case. Mm-hmm. There's this belief that if you just present the data, they're going to believe it, and when they believe it, of course, they'll add it. It never gets down to that political will. Right. Is that interesting?
It was. I think there was a certain leaning on that gathering of the data and that gap between, you know, why that disparity exists between populations, and to capture that gap in solutions and to bring that out. A big part of the discussion that came up was how to tell the stories that really make the difference at the political level. For those of you who are at the Health Reform Summit, we were able to hear a little bit from, I think it was Dr. Regina Benjamin, the Surgeon General, talking about how the data is good for people who may be in this room, but for the political will, the politicians, it's the stories that resonate. And when you see the president give his address, and when you see different persons within the political arena give their address, those case studies are powerful. And so it was a big part of our effort to figure out the data that's important. We can't leave that behind, but how we can link it to these really specific stories that are pretty resonant and powerful, and that can really move people. Does that answer your question?
It does, but I would just comment that it seemed the missing piece here is a constituency.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That the strategy is just communication. I don't think it still doesn't get away from building things that come across the data. It's maybe you're building something a little different, you're marketing a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Unless there's a constituency that's in there to make this change,
right,
it's not going to change.
That's a very good point, and I agree 100%. There was one more question right up front here. Go ahead.
Yeah, my question relates a little bit to the idea of constituency. Was there a discussion about, you focused on leadership, you know, state departments of health, et cetera, et cetera, at the community level with community residents in terms of the role of capacity building and that relationship to health, to be sure that there's a connection between leaders and
oh, yes, without a doubt. And I got to say that Dr. Troutman was a big part of this. And part of his work at NACHO, he brought up some work that had happened in Connecticut. And as we talked about this measurement and data, this tool or this grading mechanism that could be helpful for us to make the case, there were some rich discussions. That's a specific instance of some things that are happening at the local level that can be brought up. And again, for me, it was very important to realize what work had happened previously and how not to leave that behind. And again, for me, it gets into a harmonization of strategies around bringing what's happened, kind of bringing it up, elevating it, and folding into what we plan to do. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.